of others. Amen. That's all God is requiring of us. He didn't require a whole bunch of that stuff that you're doing now. You know, all them rules that you put on yourself, all the rules that the church put on us. You know what? God didn't require, but we ought to follow the rules. But what he requires is that we follow love. And when we follow love and we do the thing that God has called us to do, which is love, and it's manifested, then God is glorified. Amen. And when people see the love of God, the Bible says that with love and kindness have I drawn thee. How do we draw people to the church? It's through love and kindness. And when they see the love of God and they see the kindness of the people of God, then they say, I want to be a part of that, because I can't find that nowhere else. I can't look at here, y'all. He said, look, we got to have a genuine love. The problem is that we've dealt with this counterfeit love so long, and we don't know what real is. If you want to know what real is from the fake, you need to deal with the real long enough so that you can understand what real is. And when you understand what real is, you'll know and identify fake stuff when you see it. See, the devil tried to duplicate love, but he called it, it's really lust, because it looks like love, but it ain't. It looks like love, and it drives you like you think you love and you really want, but then it ain't really love. It's lust. You lust for money. Come on and say, man. You lust for power. You lust for other people. It's a whole bunch of stuff. It ain't got to always be sexual, but lust is something that drives you to a point that you'll do anything. You don't care who you hurt. You don't care what you do. You don't care what you say. Preaching here. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. You don't care about anything else but what you want. But love doesn't act like that. Love is not puffed up. Love denies itself. Love does not think itself above any other. Love bears all things. I wish I had somebody. Love gives all. I wish I had somebody now. And we need to know what love really is. Y'all still with me here? Do I need to just go ahead and close now? No. He said, they said no, not me. He said, beloved, God so loved us, so we ought to love one another. Are you loving each other? Now, if you can treat a person cold and not forgive, y'all hear me? Let me go on a little further. If not only if you treat somebody cold, but if you got cold intentions, you don't have love. Huh? I know they might have did you something, but God didn't say eye for an eye.
Right.
He said, Jesus said, if you read Matthew 5, he taught, when he began to teach the first teaching that Jesus gave, he said, this is the first thing. He said, I know you heard eye for an eye, two for two, but I say you need to love.
Amen.
That's what Jesus said. I said you need to forgive. Amen. Amen. Now, well, let me explain this. Now, forgiving you don't mean I got to be in your face every day. Huh? Because I got sense enough to know that you don't bring out the best in me, and I don't bring out the best in you. So let's be the best in our own corners. Y'all with me here? We gotta learn how to just do that, instead of, you know, I gotta hold a grudge with you because me and you don't get along. You know, we don't get along, so we don't hang out. It's fine. But when I see you, I can love on you, say, God bless you. I don't mean no ill will towards you. The Bible says this, that, you know, and we
know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina. Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to a very familiar verse of scripture found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And as we're turning there, about the 14th verse, Paul talks about the love of Christ constraining him. And he's also dealing with the fact that there is a need as we talk about the cross of Christ and what Jesus has done, that there are those who have not had the personal experience of knowing Jesus, walking with Jesus in the flesh. And so they have made judgment calls according to the flesh. The problem with that is that things aren't always as they appear. And so you've got to learn that God wants us, listen, to know his word and allow his word to do whatever it's going to do. We can't judge folk, and we can't put folk in hell or in heaven. We've got to give them a word and let them make the decision upon which one they will choose. And we cannot judge the outer parts. Because a person looks like this, because a person acts like this, because a person is in this culture or that culture, we judge them. And the Bible makes clear, beginning at verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You may be seated in the presence of God as we enter into his word. When we look at this word, my brothers and sisters, so important is it for us to understand this issue of the cross and Calvary and the shedding of Christ's blood for whosoever will. God sent his son to originally go to God's chosen people. His chosen people refused him. Upon that refusal, God opened up the gift that he had given to his people alone to the entire world, to whosoever will. Jesus Christ, we celebrate Christmas and we talk about the birth of Christ. He is the gift that God gave to the world. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The reality is that Jesus was born to die in our stead. That when he came to do what no other power or potentate could do. He came to bring the peace that men needed in their hearts and soul, to bring them into a right relationship with God the Father. He was the only one who could bring together, who could reconcile, who could make two differing parties agree on the same thing. Jesus was that person. And so the cross of Calvary and all that it represents must be the understanding of the believer that because we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have become new creatures.
creations. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. Now notice the word says in Christ. Again, denoting relationship. This is only for those who have relationship with Christ Jesus. Listen. It's important to understand that the new creation, he is a new creature, a new creation. Well, what does that mean? Well, as you continue in the verse, it says all things are passed away. So now we begin to understand what qualifies as old things. I'm glad you asked. Everything that was there before the new began. It's old things. It's old mindset, old actions, old attitudes, old nature. All of that represents old things. The old way of life, the old way of acting, the old way of doing, the old deeds, the old thoughts, the old ambitions, the old activities. All of that is in the realm of old. Then he says, behold. From the primitive etymological root word, we get binocular from, which means to focus in closely. What do we see? All things become new. Amen. Now, what that means literally is in verse 17, we have a metamorphosis in operation. Verse 17 represents a metamorphosis. It's where something changes from one thing and is transformed into another, or where something is immature now becomes mature. It is that place where something that is not fully developed or in its final stage is yet brought to a place of completion and change. And this is what happens when a person comes from the world and enters into Christ. All things become new. It's a metamorphosis in the spirit realm. God starts working things out in the spirit. Now you can't see them all. That's why you can't judge. Because they may look the same, but underneath the skin, God is working things out. He's changing and transforming underneath the skin. And so the problem with a whole lot of us is that we don't understand that we now have a new nature. Well, why do we act the same way sometimes? Because we still got an old mind. See, what you don't understand is that though your mind has been given a fresh opportunity so that it can be changed, it still has a memory of old things. Even though your body has been given a new lease on life, and so it is a new thing now, yet the mind still remembers old things. So that's why we must not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our minds. You can be saved and still act unsaved. Listen, in other words, what you miss many times is that just because you've been saved and now that you've gotten a clean slate, one of the reasons why you can't act different is because what's brand new now and clear now has to be activated and brought to a point of development. So all you do know is the old stuff. So you have got to get rid of the old stuff because that's what your mind keeps going to. You've got to learn the new way. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Why is that important? Because you're going to have to learn how to do things a new way. Well, I've always done those things that way. That was the old you. The new you has to change and do it the way Jesus Christ has assigned for us to do it in the Word. So in verse 17, there is a metamorphosis going on. Listen, the actuality of this word that we call being changed and brought into this new state is a word that is important for us to understand, and it is reconciliation. Now, we have, because of Calvary, the act of reconciliation. But the word doesn't just talk about the act of reconciliation on Calvary. It talks about the ongoing process of reconciliation. How many of you know just because you've been changed doesn't mean you're not still changing? Even in the natural, every day, there is a change happening in your flesh. You may not recognize it every day, but one day you look in the mirror and you see some gray you didn't see the other day. You look in the mirror, you see some wrinkles you didn't see the other day. You look in the mirror and you see a whole lot of changing going on. You realize you don't look like you used to look 20 years ago. Now, I know you think you look like you used to look, but there's a change going on in your body. I know you think you were the man you were 20 years ago, the woman you were 20 years ago, but try doing some of those things that you did 20 years, and your strength will tell you, it ain't the same. It's constantly changing, whether you recognize it or not. Now, as we move from this metamorphosis in verse 17, we recognize that we have a ministry in verse 18. And all things are of God. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now we move from a metamorphical experience and a metamorphosis that is still going on to a ministry that God has given to us. Now, this not only speaks to preachers, but this speaks to all of us who are saved, who are reconciled with God, who are in a place of right standing with God. Listen, this is not just talking about preachers, it's talking to messengers. And all of us, while we're not all preachers, we are all messengers. Every day of our lives, we carry the message, one message or another. Good or bad, right or wrong, saved or sinful, sanctified or secular, it doesn't matter. We carry messages every day, all day long. We are messengers. The Lord says, now we have a ministry. That ministry is to meet needs. See, listen to this. I want you to see this because it's important. It's talking about those who have been reconciled with God. Simply stated, those who are saved. Can I see the hands of those who are saved? Amen. All right, tell your neighbor, if you saw them raise their hand, he's talking about you. Now, neighbor, if you saw them raise their hand, tell them, say, and he talking about you too. Come on, tell them now. Let them know that this ain't one side. This is for everybody who's saved. Now, listen at this now. What's interesting about this is that God himself has set up a ministry. You got a whole lot of folk who answers their call to ministry and don't know what ministry it is. The Lord done called me. Well, what he called you to? I don't know. He might have called you to wake up. Pay attention. God calls you, listen at this, with clarity. God doesn't call you and don't tell you why he's not calling you. He don't just call you and say, John, huh? Nothing, just wanted to call you. Or he calls me into ministry. Okay, Lord, where do you want me to serve? Let me think about that for a minute. I don't know where you fit in at yet. No, when God calls you, listen, I might have an issue with where he places me, but I know where he's called me to serve. I might not want to be where he tells me to start my ministry at, but I do know what he called me to do as a ministry. And so a whole lot of folk have got to come to the reality that if God has called you, listen, if you don't know nothing else, he has called you to a ministry of reconciliation. If you are saved, he has called you to help save others. Why is that so important? Because he needs somebody who's been there and done that to tell others what he's done for me. He can do the same for you. He needs some witnesses. Have you never heard the best advertisement is a satisfied customer? Did you hear what I just said? I said the best advertisement is a satisfied customer. Because they're going to tell people close to them. They're going to, matter of fact, if anybody brings up the subject or if there's something going on relating to what they're talking about, they will be the greatest advertisement for that situation, product, or thing because they've been satisfied with it. And if there's anybody that the Lord has saved, blessed, and kept, taken care of, picked up, turned around, dusted off, changed, rearranged, healed them, delivered them, all of these things, that they ought to be able to tell somebody. And so when they are witnesses, then they have a ministry of sharing with others who need this Jesus. Look again now. We've got a metamorphosis in verse 17, a ministry in verse 18, but I got something else I want to help you to see. There is a message in verse 19. Now, what good is a ministry and no message? Because I know a lot of ministries where there is no message. There's a mess, but ain't no message. There's a little whole lot of hype, whole lot of stuff going on, whole lot of folk acting and playing church, but not no real word of God that is moving as according to his spirit and his word, not that convicts folk and convince folk that Christ is truly the way, that converts folk and give folk a reality in knowing that God says what he means and means what he says. I know folk who play church, but there is a difference from those who have a word. And I got news for you. Let me just throw this out parenthetically, that the flesh don't like a real word. Shout me, preacher. Make me feel good, preacher. Don't tell me about my sins, my shortcomings, my mistakes, my mishaps, my mess-ups. Tell me about how God's going to bless me. He's going to give me a new car, open doors, give me a raise, bring money. And that's the kind of stuff we want to hear, but that stuff don't do nothing for our souls. That stuff doesn't help us to promote the cause of Christ. That stuff doesn't help get folk saved. It get folk who are looking for handouts and who want to bring God down to their level rather than coming up to his level in the house. Because there is no standard set. God wants you to understand that needs to be a word. So the Bible says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Listen, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Listen, and hath committed to us, unto us, the word of reconciliation. We've got a ministry, but what is our message? Get yourself together. Come on the Lord's side. Change the way you walk and you talk. Come out of darkness into light. Let me help you see Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That message is reconciling man with God. Come to the light. Jesus is the light. He's the right way. Your life is never going to change and really be blessed until you come to God's side. Until you surrender to God's side. Until you understand the message is clear. God's way or no way. God is seeking true worshipers. Real worshipers. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Why is that important? Because it's a word. Listen. That your soul needs. People who cannot get a word for their soul hunger and thirst, and nothing in this world can fill it. But they don't know that. And so they go out trying this and trying that. Drugs and alcohol, gambling, perversion, people, everything that they can to feel the emptiness underneath the skin. But only one thing will work, and that's the reconciliation, the getting right with God. My heart aches at seeing so many play church on Sunday and lived empty and defeated lives because they won't hear the word of reconciliation. They go through the motion on Sunday mornings but don't live with any power during the week. And yet they miss the fact that Jesus died so that they in this life can demonstrate his power, his resurrection power, to overcome everything there is that this world throws at you. Jesus said that he has overcome this world. And if you are in him, you shall overcome also. Just because you're saved don't mean that you won't go through stuff. That you won't have temptations. That you won't have tribulations. That you won't have situations. But in all of those and through all of those, God will see you through and you will be the victor. And not the whining victim. When you face situations and circumstances, the joy in your heart, the knowledge in your mind of what God has said in his word, the Spirit of the living God will bring up that you'll be reminded of who you are and whose you are and what you have. Joy, true joy, comes from the Lord. You're not going to find it in a bottle. You're not going to find it in drugs. You're not going to find it in another person.